anyway, I just wanted to read today and then start talking about a few things. And as I'm going through the book, if something stands out to you, like the Lord speaks to your heart, hold on to that. If he, I don't know, does anybody have question marks in their Bible? Like, huh? What do you mean by this? If that stands out, chapter 2 should be a big question mark for a lot of people. So we'll see some things. But if something really cool stands out to you, I want you to share today. I don't plan on sharing a whole lot, just a few things, because me personally, I have a hard time getting through the first two verses without just stopping and thanking the Lord and just staying there for a while. So anyway, so Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because of our testimony among you is believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness in the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the truth, the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God, the Father, who has loved us and given us every everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you both, that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we commend you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, and not according to the traditions you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Enough said. Any thoughts? Initial thoughts? Questions? Pretty self-explanatory? No? Yeah? No answers? I don't know. Anything stand out that the Lord touched your heart with? Oh.
I have one.
Don't ask about chapter 4. No, just kidding.
Chapter 2.
I knew they were coming from chapter 2.
In chapter 2, verse 11, it says, and for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what's false. That just, I talk all the time, I think a lot about, you know, the spiritual warfare that's going on and how people believe lies, but I always give Satan the credit for that. And here it says that God is sending upon them a deluding influence. I don't know, I'm just trying to understand that.
Well, so that they should believe the lies, so the lies coming from the enemy. Right? In that verse, it says, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So God's just, it's the same as in Romans when God turns them over to their own, when they don't glorify God as God, he turns them over and they have a debased mind. It's that same, God's just saying that if you don't want to believe me, I'm going to help you along.
Yeah, I remember in my Bible about that verse because it was confusing to me too.
Yeah.
It says, whoever told me this, I don't know, so that they still have that free will, that choice, because otherwise they'd be believing what they don't. I don't know.
But never to forget that everything God does is redemptive. So, he doesn't want it. Send these guys into, worse darkness, because when you get what you want and that runs out and leaves you and realize that's not the thing, brings you back to him. So he lets you have what you want, so that could fail.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because it has to be, because everything he does is redemptive. So it's kindness, right?
It's his mercy that is allowing some things to bring. I mean, I look at the last 4 years of our presidency, there's a strong delusion coming from an office, and the Lord's used it to have people call out to him for the land.
Yeah.
And those very people you've seen, my wife is talking about it, she works, it just, there are brothers and sisters too, you know, the ones who are misled, but they can't see. It's almost like blinders are on them for the deception of the media, for the deception of the biased news, the deception of paper.
But even you're right.
You know, and it's like something is blinded them.
There's a way of the world,
and it's like a veil has been like dropped and one lifted. You know, mm-hmm. At the same time,
it's
in
the most
time, like right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Joe's been sharing with us that it's possible he's identified the lie, because it says that they should believe
the lie.
And the lie possibly could be that everything came from nothing.
There's no God.
What we have now.
That's the lie. That's what our...
Has God said?
He points out all the institutions of America. You know, they teach evolution. So basically, they're saying everything came from nothing.
Right.
It's insanity.
Both
deception.
Yep. It's both. It's deception from those who are being deceived. And most of the deception comes from your own heart and your own pride. That says that you know better. And so, you know, when you say strongly, if I believe, if you look at this up here, that it'll sit in the temple as God, as God, and say he is God, if you actually believe that, you are in a position of a lie, and you're walking in a lie, and the truth is not in him, right? So the Lord will say, you know, at the end, it said, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He said, this is what you want, you can have it. Now we're going to speed it up. So, any other thoughts?
I was just going to say that not only do they not believe that there's a God, but they are mad at that God they don't believe in. It's true.
So, there's one thing to know. If God's word is true, in the heart of any man, there should be no question that there is a God.
They hate the God they don't believe in.
Right. They're very angry at someone they don't believe in.
It's a sadly exciting time.
Always. I mean, back here, we don't experience half the, in this country, we don't experience the persecution and things that other countries do. So to hear some of these things are kind of like, you know. But, there's just some words. We read the Bible, I think, too much to understand the Bible rather than just read it to hear from God.
Yeah.
Like when I open up this word and I can read one word and that's God speaking. Or I can read a whole chapter and let him speak way too much for me to understand at one time. But sometimes you need the whole picture, you know, to see through the forest and get your way through. So you need the... But if you just slow down and hear what God's saying to us in these things, it should just stop you and just bring you to a place where we learn in the first lesson that we're to rejoice, always pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So this is, Paul's writing them back. Remember he said, I don't need to tell you guys you need to love one another, but you need to increase more and more. You know, but now we get this letter and it says, guess what's happening? You're still following the Lord, walking in your heart's increasing, your love's increasing.
I think one of the things, back to what you said, does anything stand out to you? I think this verse 3 in chapter 3 stands out. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. We don't protect ourselves. He's doing it. He's the one that's establishing us. And so, I mean, the thing is, when you said, does anything stand out to you? I say there's many promises like that all through this letter that really stand out if you look for them.
Right.
There's
a few things in here that I think are awesome. If we could come to a place and just say yes, Lord, it would be sweet.
As though it was written for right now.
Right. Well, and so we see that this letter is written to the Thessalonians at that time, right? But we know because Scripture tells us that these things were written for our example, that we, through the patience and comfort of Scripture, we might have hope. So it's not written to us, but it is written for us. Right? So that we can know him more. And so that the things he speaks to them, he's saying. Now, there is a scripture verse that will give, kind of help you with that too. Not help you, but in John, when Jesus is praying, and he says, I don't pray for these alone, but those who will believe in your word about me. This is part of this. This is, we're entering into, by just entering into the word that God's given us, to enter into the fact that he's given us something to hold on to and to revere, even though it was written to someone else, we can benefit from it and receive because it's for us. Why? So that we have a future and a hope. And he's wanting to do these things. So do the church, anybody have any other things? Because the things you bring up, questions, I'm going to seek the Lord a little. Not a little more, but want to try to answer what I can, and hopefully some of you answer some of the things I don't know. Because when you read commentaries, you can be all over the place with a lot of this stuff. So
another thing that stands out is verse 16 in chapter 3, where it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in all ways, in every way. The Lord be with you. I love that.
Right.
I mean, that's a really positive thing to just kind of take in and meditate on. Because Jesus Christ is peace. It says he himself is our peace.
Right.
In another place. So, in every circumstance you find yourself in, however the Lord does it, the peace comes from him.
Yes. Well, last week we talked about Christ is the beginning of all things. Right? And so, peace coming into your life is a gift.
Yeah.
And you can only have peace when you are established.
Peace with God through our Lord Jesus
right.
Christ.
So, yes. Now, find the right book. You'll be all right. So, I can highlight a few things that stood out to me that I know we're going to discuss over the next few weeks. Very first part is just to settle it. This is the Lord's heart. This is not to you, it's for you, like I was saying. But this is God's first words. Now, Paul wrote this, right? But what does Timothy tell us about all Scripture? It's all inspired by God. It began with him. It came to a man to be put in a book for us to read, to be from him. And so he says, maybe not to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, it's the church in Delta. The church in Maryland, the church in the world today. This is God's message to you. Grace. To you. So just think about that. Allow the Lord just to meet you there and reveal to you the amount of grace. It's just the creator of the universe that holds everything together decides to speak and put it in the word to tell you all he wants for you is grace. You don't need any more to read than that than the Lord just spoke, speaking to your heart in these little areas. The purpose for the letter is grace. He's giving you a gift. And so our part is to receive the gift. To open it up and enjoy it. Right? And receive from the Lord. The second part he says, it's grace and peace. The Lord's desire when you read this book, letter, Because we even read it at the end. It started with peace, and it ended with peace. And the way that works is because we read a couple verses before that, it says God is faithful. And if we can receive what the Lord has for us and hang on to it. Is that me or is that...
The cricket.
Oh, that's okay. So, anybody here understand the game of football? Really? That few? So you have positions in the game, right? You got a quarterback, and then you have these guys that are out on the end. They're called receivers. And they're supposed to catch what the quarterback throws at, right? Or sometimes they're running interference, they're blocking, but technically they're receivers, and for them to benefit from, they got to catch the ball. We don't see that much in today's game. But I think that's in the church as well. The Lord is throwing out passes to us all the time, and we're not receiving. We're not taking them in. So, if you guys, this is the greatest thing I can say is slow down and hear what God's speaking. It only needs to be one word for Him to melt your heart. You only need to hear from Him at one point to know it's God, which will increase, give you peace, and settle you. So we're bound. Anybody have any thoughts on those first couple verses? Oh, by the way, anytime you try to read any of Paul's letters, you're going to be stuck with just meditating on that. Because he always starts with grace and peace. And a lot of people, like, oh, this is the salutation of the day. This was the Greek, the grace is the Greek greeting, and the peace, shalom, is the Jewish. That's true. But this is a gift from God to us, being sent down His Word, that we can receive it. I mean, the lover of your soul says grace and peace.
You know, that's the difference between facts and a person.
Right.
Jesus is grace and peace.
Yes.
And when you receive it that way, you're receiving a person and not just facts.
This is literally God speaking to you when you open up His Word. He wants to speak to your heart. He's left us here so we can have a future and a hope as we seek and find the Lord.
How do you hear?
By faith. Receiving. And humility, and saying thank you for directing. Yep. What's that?
Such as the wind blows.
Yeah, that you can't catch that, but it can knock you down.
You see the effects of it.
Yeah. Yep.
That's grateful right there.
Yes. So we're bound to thank God always for you. You can. The truth is if you understand that God's given you grace and He's given you peace, the next word should be, I'm bound to thank God. You know what I mean? Like, once I receive what God's given and the instruction, the next step, yes, He's saying, I'm thanking God for what He's doing in your lives. And I think it's awesome that you can stand up here and see what God does with everybody's lives, and not just up here, but as we get to know and hang out and everybody knows one another, you get to see what God's doing. You see the struggles in people's lives. You see their faith going on to help you step in and enter into faith. And it's just good. But we're bound to thank God. I just think that if you can just wake up in the morning and the Lord's done it in my life here lately. I don't always do it. But as soon as, like, consciously, it's just like, oh, thank you for another day. Before I get out on the floor. It's just like in my heart just to say thank you. Now once I'm awake longer and I start feeling all the pain and everything, I might be saying, well, maybe not, but I'm going to start by thanking you. I kind of regret getting out of bed, but I was grateful to be up in the presence of the Lord. But He says it is fitting because your faith grows exceedingly and your love for every one of you all abounds toward each other. Everything that Paul asked and encouraged them a year or two earlier in the first letter, they're walking it. Their love's abounding. Their faith's increasing. And I just like where it says, which is a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Does that make sense to you? That it's manifest, a revelation, an eye-opener of God's righteous judgment to hand an open opportunity for humanity to enter into the kingdom of God. That is a picture of His righteousness.
Long-suffering.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it all comes together. Yeah. Sit. For me, what this does, this is for all, God's heart is for all the world to come to Him, right? Not just, Jesus didn't die for some, He died for all. And, see, I might be twisted. Well, I am twisted, but what this says to me in this verse is that humanity is so incapable. That's why Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the Pharisees, you will by no means see the kingdom of God. From Adam's first sin, man has been taken from being made complete and perfect to sin. Meaning your humanity is short of God's perfection. We all fall short. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, right? No matter what we do, no matter who you are other than Jesus, not one of us is perfect. And God knew that before He said, let there be light. So in His judgment, because He's so righteous, how can I create a fallen humanity and expect them to be perfect? To enter into a place that they don't have, right? So in His righteousness, He makes a way. And opens up a way for us all to enter into, those who choose to. And it's just beautiful because all of us know that if we look in the mirror, we fall short. And we have no hope. And it's God's righteousness to give us a way, to lead us to a place and open up a way into that relationship that we can enter into the kingdom of God. I just think that that's awesome. It's just a statement that says, hey, humanity, you don't have a chance unless Jesus prepares a way. And if it wasn't in God's heart for man to be saved, we'd all be left in our sin. So I just think it's a beautiful thing that we can learn the righteousness of God that He did right. You know, a lot of people say, well, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't. Why am I? You know, there's a lot of things kids say to their parents. But as other people start saying to God later, well, I didn't ask to be here. I didn't want that. You know, all these questions. He's like, look, I created you. I formed you and I placed you in a way and made a way for you to spend eternity with me. And that's the righteousness of God. It should just bring to you a place to just to say thank you. That I even have a way.
Scott?
Yes, sir.
It's interesting in verse 5, I think, where it says, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God. You may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, etc., etc. And so what is this? This is that they're looking on the churches of God, and they're seeing their steadfastness and faith in all their persecutions and afflictions, and so that they're enduring. And so what they're saying, what he's saying there is, hey, we see God in your steadfastness and faith and affliction. Not you. We see God in what He's doing. And I think that's a perfect picture of, like when you see the Chinese church, for example, when it's been pushed underground, you see, yes, I see people.
God's faithfulness. It's like there was something said recently that every time they try to kill Christianity, the reality is it can't be killed because our Savior has conquered death and knows how to be resurrected. And so this is a picture of that. So I think that is absolutely profound. This is the evidence of the righteous judgment of God. And so...
It's really cool that Paul can look at other believers and say, I know God's working in your life, and I know God's working in your life, and I know God's working, and it's a beautiful evidence of His righteousness, right? Is what you're saying. It's just all, like, you can look at one another's lives, and we can come to a place and say, you know, I might be struggling, but I see this person the Lord's ministering to, and they're something seems to be going, and there's fruit in their lives. It's an opportunity to say, that's proof that God's real. Manifest evidence. God's moving. God's working. God's alive. What's that movie, The Three, God's Not Dead Yet, or something like that? There's some movies out there. I just think it's a way that a manifestation is God revealing Himself, right? So that's kind of cool. This is a way God is revealing Himself to other believers, like Garrett says, through the life of the believers. That's it. They're growing in grace, they're growing in their faith, and they're abounding in love. It's an evidence that God's on the move. Since it's a righteous thing for God to repay with tribulations those who trouble you, Lord, keep them safe. Doesn't that sound, does anybody have a question mark there? That God's going to repay with tribulation? Who trouble you? Two ways to look at this. Thank you, Lord. Well, many ways to look at it. One is, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Doesn't say, vengeance is mine, I will repay Scott, says Scott. Because, this is, I have to come to a place to entrust the Lord that He's going to make things right. Because those same people who are giving them tribulation can also be the next people the next day that are saved and forgiven. Paul's an example. He was coming against the church, but God worked and saved him. And so it doesn't mean that just because people are troubling you that they're going to hell and God's going to repay them for everything they did. Pray for them so that the Lord will show mercy and they might humble themselves and receive. Because every one of us knows why we came to the Lord, and that's because we didn't want to see hell. Or experience it for eternity the way we were at the time when we came to Jesus. You know, our own hell at that time. Now, I will say this on the other end. It's a warning for troubling people who love the Lord. Right? You know, to go against His bride, whether it's in gossip, whether it's anything, we need to be very careful and look for the Christ in people instead of the people. Because we are to build up, we are to edify until we all come into the knowledge of the truth, the Son of God. Right? Not tear down, rip apart, and be pointing fingers. Yeah, we see that you find things stand out. There's adjustments that need made, there's corrections that need to be made, but they're all in the heart of redemption. They're all in the heart to bring back. We're never at a point to set aside and cut off. Even though there's separation, the separation is to bring them back. Yes?
What I sometimes call the I don't understand column.
Well, you have one little thing we partly understand, and then we have a big list of
where
don't get it.
Forgive, and you're like, I don't want to, but I'm going to trust in that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't understand that, Lord, but I'm gonna trust that. I really just like ripping that snare off, but no, I won't do that. You trust, you know, I understand that part.
So yeah.
But you have to trust. You have to trust.
You have to know the one in whom you're trusting.
Yeah.
That will do right. So to since it's a righteous thing for God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled more trouble. Just kidding, set the rest. Just seeing if you're paying attention. God's desire is for you to have rest. His desire for you is to receive grace. Receive His peace and be at rest. Even when the world's coming down rampant. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to be in Christ. Be settled and seated in His love and understanding who He is. The truth is, the worries and cares and concerns are straight up lack of faith in the one in whom we trust. And just not knowing Him enough. That He will do all things right. And that He is in control of all things. It's hard to believe that sometimes when we look out and see the stuff in the world, but Scripture teaches that He's seated on the throne and all things have been subject under His feet. Even though we don't see all things subject under His feet, but we see Jesus. So, yeah. And to give... But see, it's just that God's desire is to give you rest. Another reason is just to say thank you. When you go through the Scriptures, the Lord tells us to rejoice. If you're looking for things to rejoice, look into the things God's doing. Or has done and or promises to do. That He says, I offer this to you. Lord, increase my faith that I can walk in it. That's a gift as well. His Word's a gift. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. These are all coming down from the beginning, who is Jesus. It all initiates from Him. It all started with Him, and He's faithfully completed. So it's going to be pretty cool to watch when He is revealed. But here's something in this verse that... let me read these two verses together because it always messes me up. And to give you who are troubled rest, anybody troubled today? God wants to give you rest. With us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God or those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we understand that God wants us to have rest, right? When is it going to happen? When He's revealed from heaven, right? And mighty angels, that day that He's getting ready to talk about. But the truth is, when do I receive rest here today in this earth? When the heavens were open and Christ was revealed to me. And you, every day, have the opportunity to find rest as the Lord opens up the heavens and reveals Himself to you. I think that's beautiful. Yes, one day it's going to happen, but as we seek Him, He will reveal Himself and bring rest to your souls. Just my own little thought. The rest of this, I hope it shakes you, because all those who don't know the Lord, family members and stuff like that, this part's for them. And it's sad. Yes, they're the ones who troubled you, but when He's revealed from heaven with His mighty angels and flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if the Lord came back 30 years ago, I'd be in hell. If He wasn't patient, long-suffering, kind, with perseverance, mercy, I'd be in the lake of fire right now. It's just truth. Why do I have rest to my soul now? Because the Lord opened up and revealed Himself to me from heaven. I might have been a little stubborn, still am, but somehow, by His grace, He was able to open up these eyes. The eyes of the heart, so I could believe. But my testimony before was, party it up now, because you'll get plenty of rest when you're dead. And I lived that life very strongly in my own beliefs until the Lord woke me up in His grace. It said, these will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He comes in that day to be glorified in the saints and to be admired by all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Those same people that you get frustrated with because they take advantage of you, rob, kill, and destroy, it still moves your heart, my heart, when it comes up to the end of destruction. I'd like to see them get what they deserve, but do they really need to go to hell? They just like lied to me, or they just cut me off the road, or you know, these little things that we freak out over. But this is an everlasting destruction. We're entering into an everlasting peace. The opposite is destruction. I hope it motivates us to live a life of growing in faith and love towards one another so that we can be examples and more will come. And I pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but I also pray for Him to show mercy and grace so that people can be saved. So, when you cry out, Lord, come, everybody, you're crying out and saying, let them go. And it's kind of selfish. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, I need you here now, Jesus. I'm not worried about everybody going to hell. I hope we're not there. I know we're not there. Sometimes I am. But anyway. Now, so, we're good enough to be done. I'm just going to finish this and we'll go back through some stuff. When He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints, and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. We'll talk about these next week. Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill. So, Paul's praying to be realized and be counted worthy. Who's calling? Where did it start? God. The calling is there. It began with Him to fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness. God's calling is to reveal to you all of His goodness. His good pleasure. It's not like, oh man, them again. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, this is good, isn't it? His goodness and the work of faith with power. For me, when I read that, well, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, it takes the power of a resurrected Lord to give you faith. That's how much power it takes for you to enter into faith. A resurrected Christ. Meaning that it means it takes a lot of power. It's not like, oh, they'll just have faith. He says, when I return, will anybody really have faith? It's a miracle when somebody walks in faith. But that didn't come from you. It was a gift from God with His mighty power. It's His mighty power to spark it. Doesn't come from us. Doesn't come from you to say, you know what, the guy just cut me off, I'm just going to back off and not care. Or that person slapped me. Doesn't matter. That's not our typical nature. Right? That's the opposite. But by faith, a miracle of God in you. You see, God's alive today. And He's moving. We're all evidence. And He desires to continue to move. But it takes a lot of power for God to get us to enter into faith. It's not just believe it. No big deal, just believe it. Most people know it, but it doesn't change their heart to move. Why? So that He can be glorified in you and you in Him. According to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter verse 12 is just a shortened version of John chapter 17. Right? The Lord, I and you, you and me, and the Father, you know, that we are one. That's what this is looking like. Ultimately will be. That we will be brought together into one. Any thoughts, questions, concerns? If not, we can pray and thank the Lord for His Word. Lord, we do thank You that You gave us Your Word, Lord, and they're not, well, the only thing that changes these from being dead letters is Your Holy Spirit. So we ask You, Lord, and thank You, Lord, that these words are not dead, that we have a living Word, not just in this book, but in the heavens, because we know that You are the Word. And I just ask, Father, that as You would continue to increase our faith, that You would increase our love for one another, and Lord, that our lives would be a testimony and evidence of Your righteousness. We thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. In Jesus' name.